Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode. We're here to introduce you to our sponsors for this week's episode, Adam and Eve. Not a stranger to some of you guys. A lot of y'all have been writing us and telling us what you ordered, whether it be butt plugs or lingerie. You know, I'm really thinking people think I say it like that now.
I say lingerie.
I said that in front of my mother and she's like, but you know what it is.
Whatever. I be straight like libido, be.
It's a little
whatever.
Anyway, you can get your libido up by ordering pills on there. They have some dope like enhancement pills for men and then like orgasm pills for women. I know we've talked about a few on this show as well, but if you use our code WD50, you're gonna get any item you want at 50% off. The sex swing is like $100 on there and you get it for 50. I'm a friend.
You know how to do math now. Friend, I'm so proud.
A friend told me that. It's not like I have the swing. But when you go to that website, they're also going to get you're going to get free items, 6 free movies. Now, if you don't have a DVD player, maybe your boo has a Nintendo. What do they call them?
PlayStation.
One of those.
Do PlayStation still play CDs?
Put it in the disk drive at work, whatever. But you also get a mystery pack. It's going to be an item for you or her or whoever. I got some lube in mine and also free shipping, okay? That's a lot of free shit because of support the show. You guys are always like, why don't you do longer episodes? Why don't you have this guest?
We giving y'all a code, 50%
off. Damn it. Guest from here is from L.A. We had to fly this bitch all the way. So keep buying us ads.
Damn, you got miles because I know you ain't put it out the business account.
Absolutely not. Anyway,
yeah, WD50. Thank you guys, and let's get on with the show. So, holla y'all. What's up? It's Monday. Y'all up? I think we are making people love Mondays now. I ain't even gonna hold you.
Oh, man, Monday's depressing as fuck.
Yeah, but they be excited when they hear our voices. So, welcome y'all to another episode of Horrible Decisions. This is your girl, Mandy B.
I'm Wheezy, and we have a special guest. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Liz Goldwyn, and I am the founder of The Sex Ed.
I need to add something behind B because I like to have a full name.
Me too.
Like, dang, just B.
I'm Liz Goldwyn. What do I say?
Wheezy.
I know.
Maybe you gotta start saying WTF.
But we're also not, we don't have as many accolades, so maybe that's why we don't say our name
well,
like that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, your accountant is like
we fuck a lot. That's pretty much our own accolades to this show.
You know what I mean?
So I met Liz when I went to a porn and pleasure with Eric Celeste. I talk about that all the time, and I was like so enamored just seeing like two women up there talking about, you know, and both of you look so poised. And, you know, Erica's talking.
Very, I'm not even going to hold you. I, like, feel like I got to speak a little proper during
basically,
this
what she's saying is we're ghetto. No, but I was just like, damn, this is so dope. And I knew who Erica Less was, and I never had heard of you before. And then when you talked about directing and all the things that you've done, you were just very pro-women, and I felt like it would be perfect for our show.
Not only that, she got a blue check mark. Blue
That's
check
true.
Mark pussy in the house.
That's right.
That's right. My shit is verified.
Stock is up. But I listened to one of your episodes where I don't know if it was a man or woman teaching blow drop tricks.
Lou Padgett, yeah.
And
giving fellatio and cunnilingus tips.
Holy
actually.
Shit. Dude, we have yet to do a cunnilingus one.
That's very important.
How do we know?
I've actually had people tell me before, like that when they were teenage boys, they would Google how to give proper head for women. I'm like, well, let's see.
There's a 2-hour video of it on Pornhub because I looked it up before.
Now, did you watch the whole 2 hours?
I
mean, but here's the thing: like, doesn't everyone like the same way with men? A lot of men like to receive head in different ways. There's not really one way to perform cunnilingus, like give head to a
woman,
right?
I mean,
there's
not one way to do anything sexually, right?
Right,
absolutely.
You're right.
But just like there's good blowjob tips, like actually sucking or being able to use the twisting motion, things like that. There were some good tips in there, too. Especially, I think, for women. For me, I got a labia massage, and I talk about it all the time on the show because it was so amazing. When I watched the How to Eat Pussy thing, he touched the lips a lot. And this things people forget to do. They just, like, either go right on your clit, or they just start sticking fingers in there. And there's not, like, this nice, suave movement to it that I want.
Okay.
We could all learn, but it's a good video. But that episode, holy shit.
See, I might have to listen to it.
It is one of our more popular episodes, I will say.
I mean, it was, and you did a very good job asking, like, so exactly how, and they She broke.
Well,
because
what I like to do, what the whole concept of what we're doing with the sex ed is, even on our site, when we have articles like anal sex 101 or orgasm breathing, which I know you want to get to, or period sex, is I try to imagine
period sex all the time, and she thinks it's gross.
I mean,
now you're getting really happy with it. You just said that really proudly, and I'm just like, I mean,
I love it, and I'm always super horny, right before my period or when I'm on my period. It's a personal thing, but I like to think that we're not talking to people who necessarily have ever done any of this before. Like, you can't assume that people are. There's no such thing really as being an expert in sex. We're all trying to figure it out. We're all on this evolving learning curve, right?
Right.
And what turns you on now might be totally different in 6 months, 6 years. I mean, I hope that I'm super freaky when I'm 80, that I'm doing things that I'm not doing now.
I kind of want to, too.
So you keep seeing.
I made my mom, actually, my mother, edited our anal sex 101 essay.
What?
And she's like, I don't know what, honey, I've never had anal sex. I'm like, that's great, because I want this to read like real 101. And the person who wrote it was an expert. And so she gives me the edit back, and she's like, you know, you talk about, at the end of the article, talks about poo and does it hurt? And I feel like you got to mention that right up top, which was a great tip.
That's very true.
Am I going to shit?
And what's crazy is we were just in Miami, and that was one of the questions, a woman asking how she can go through with having anal sex.
Yeah.
And so we all gave anal sex tips. But you keep mentioning the sex ed. I want our listeners to know that is the name of your podcast.
It's our podcast, but it's also our website is thesexed.com. And we have essays written by experts. We do live talks and events. I actually bought the domain names in 2008.
I was going to say, how does no one else own it?
I own the sex ed and I own thesexedshow.com, both of them.
Oh, great.
I've been in this game.
You know, yeah. I've done that shit.
I've been in this game a long time. My first job was at Planned Parenthood when I was 13, working in a clinic in Santa Monica.
What'd you do there?
I answered phones, and then I did peer education, and then I helped organize their media library, because this is pre-Google. So people will come in and check out books and VHS, not even DVDs, but VHS and pamphlets. And then I wrote two books about sexuality. The first one about burlesque and the advent of striptease.
We have yet to do an episode on that, and I want
to. Haven't.
Yeah, you should.
I love burlesque.
Well, I mean, when I talked to Liz, what can we talk about? And she mentioned burlesque. I just felt like the topic for today's episode is starting over again and just getting back to yourself. And I feel like you've lived a lot of life, especially to have been married. That's really important. Even if someone's not married right now, but it's just a breakup, how do I reinvent myself? How do I get back out there?
Yeah.
It's the number one question I feel like asked at our shows.
I totally had to do that. I mean, I met my ex-husband when I was 18. And I really struggled. When we got married, I really, you know that whole thing, who am I? What's my identity?
Yes.
And even though I was had a career, I was writing books, I'd made a film, I'd sold it to HBO, also on burlesque. All of a sudden, I had this fear that, I'm just going to be a wife? Is that what people are going to look at me as?
Right.
As I was young, no one else was married. And you know, we were together for 13 years. And you're a very different person from 18 to 30.
So Liz.
And
right?
I feel like wife isn't even anything I knew about your identity. I just knew boss bitch Liz, all this list of shit that, when you Google you, that you find. And it's crazy that someone like you could have thought that.
But you know what? It made me kind of focus on being a boss bitch, because I was not going to bar. I mean, I'm a stoner and always have been. So
you're from LA.
Right.
I brought my vape. I have my vape pen in my bag. I'm big on cannabis. We do a lot of cannabis on our site. The neuroscience. Yeah, he's over there being like, yeah.
Yes.
Neuroscience. My boyfriend actually is in cannabis too now. But yeah, neuroscience of cannabis and cannabis and sex. Because first of all, alcohol, we know the science. Alcohol and consent.
No, we don't know the science.
Well, we do, because we publish it. We publish it. We do. Alcohol is definitely it's much better for your body, right? To use cannabis than drink.
Yes,
but also when it comes to consent and boundaries, people, there's a lot more issues around assault and rape with alcohol than can't. What are you going to do? You're going to get high and you're going to get tired and you're going to go home. Oh, you're going to go eat a fucking snack.
I mean, or I can't feel my
body.
You're
not going to get aggressive.
That's how you had your.
I had edibles and I actually did it so that my mind could be at ease and so that I didn't think of all the horrid things I was about to do.
But
I actually had one of my male-male threesomes on edibles. And I was gone, honey. I was in the stars, bitch. Like, his friends started, at one point, I didn't even know which one I was fucking. But, seriously. But, the friend, started making me squirt. And I was just like, whoa, what's going on? Who's doing that? And then my guy was like, nigga, what you doing? But it was feeling good, but he ain't really know. But, yeah. On edibles,
you got to know your doses.
Yeah, well, I did. It was one gummy bear. I should have had a leg.
Yeah, had a quarter. But yeah. In California, where I live, we've got dispensaries on every block.
Yeah, see, that West Coast shit different.
I mean, it is. That's why I don't smoke weed with my West Coast friends. And they're like, we got to get you high. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Well, Weezy got some icebreakers that we like to do with our guests.
Okay.
And this is kind of just to open you up. Not literally, but just to kind of, get you on your little horrible decisions vibe.
Okay.
So.
Fuck me.
First one I have it pulled up right here.
Oh, great.
When is the last time you came? If solo, what were you watching / thinking about?
The last time I came this week was Wednesday. Yeah, I don't know. The day before yesterday. The day before yesterday, because I haven't been home all day. But I really do think it's great to masturbate before you have a big meeting. I mean, a date for sure if you're single, but I'm a big believer in orgasm manifesting.
Oh my God, we had Kristen Soleil.
Yeah.
She wrote the book Witches, Feminist, Sluts. You heard about
it? Yeah, I've read it.
So we had her on and she was talking about sex magic. And she's like, you've got to get some greenery if you want money and just think about it. I was like, damn.
You can masturbate and orgasm for financial. I mean, you can visualize a color, you can visualize something you want. Mm-hmm. The same way that, I don't know if you guys do altars at all ever, burn candles.
Altars?
Have an altar in your house where you
I have a small one.
Yeah, maybe you have a picture of, whatever it is. You can make your own. But yeah, I do think masturbation is a really good thing.
So you did it before a meeting. What did you, were you watching?
My last orgasm was with my boyfriend, but I am a big, big fan of masturbating before big business meetings.
I like that for too. Sure. I've been doing it before interviews, since we had her. I've been having small interviews for little casting things, and I just try to fuck myself and think, maybe the pheromones are out there. They're booking me for ho shit anyway.
But it relaxes you and it puts you in touch with your own power.
So yeah. I masturbate every time I go to sleep. But the last time I came was today during my lunch break.
What?
Bitch, Green Eyes was up here and I just fucked him in Miami, so I felt like he had to redeem himself a little bit. So he hit me and he was like, I'm in New York. I said,
you had dick on your lunch break.
Literally, it was amazing. My friend said I was the best hoe. 40 minutes, bro. Got it to him in Midtown. Fucked and sucked. Then came back to the motherfucking office. And I had time to pick up some motherfucking lunch. But it was so... Well,
does anyone else use your computer?
No, it's my computer with my monitor.
Well, thank God.
Thank you. But no, I did have to wipe. And my bun almost came off because I ain't got bobby pins. So this is really a loose bun. And I had to put a bun on today because I thought we was going to have video. But Benson, motherfucking ass at home.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. Lack of video today. We're going to, post a picture of how cute Liz is.
Yeah, but it was great.
Good for you.
Yeah, he let me know he's in town to see a doctor or whatever. So it's just an in and out. He leaves tonight.
Hopefully it's not for his dick.
No, it's not. He's athletic.
I'm actually impressed that you managed to fit the lunch in, too.
So
I know.
So I did bring the lunch back to my desk. I didn't have
time. Did he order you room service?
No, we didn't have time for this. So I literally walked in. And so what's crazy is we still kind of did a catch up. But I just saw him in Miami. So there was not much to catch up on, except when I walked to the room, I was like, you ain't gonna pull that shit you did in Miami, are we?
What are you doing?
Bro, he been in Miami for the off season. So, bitch, we went through 3 condoms, but he didn't come. So then he had me sucking his dick just for too long, bro. I said, sir, I have a live show. I need my jaw. And it was just I haven't sucked dick with an attitude in a long ass time. Bitch, I had the biggest attitude sucking his dick.
I know exactly
I was like, niggas, you gonna come or I ain't gonna keep sucking his dick. I was just angry sucking his dick. So I, as we're walking around the room, I'm like, you ain't gonna pull that shit, did you, last time? He asked how the show was. So while we're talking, having this conversation, we're both taking our fucking clothes off.
I did. It was so great. The sun, the weather.
Pretty much. And then we laid on the bed. I started sucking him. He got really hard. And then we fucked. And he's comparable to 24/7's dick. So I come with penetration with him like almost every time we fuck.
So lucky.
I had 2 orgasms during my lunch break and it was amazing. So what about you?
You're making me like really horny right now.
I'm sorry.
I wonder if that's what people be talking about while they be at work.
Oh my God. When me and Mandy were playing like porn into the fucking mic, this girl was like, I couldn't even take it anymore. I kind of feel bad, but they choose to listen to this at their jobs. It's not our fucking... you can ride, do it on the ride home. So... whatever.
When the last time you orgasmed? Your turn.
I've had so many threesomes this past week that, with the same 2 people, by the way. I'll get into that in another show because it's definitely a story. But I'm ovulating this week. I cannot stop fucking myself. Like, it's so insane. We're all in this group chat, right? And everybody's like on their post-vacation blues. Like, we all feel like shit. You know what I mean? Because we've been together and cuddling and like... he's like, damn, I woke up alone, and like, I look to the left, I look to the right, she's alone. And so, like, I can't stop masturbating, probably 3 times a day. I mean, maybe a little bit more, I'm not going to front, but even when I pull up the porn now, I have to look up passionate threesome, and then...
You type in passionate, bro.
Because I have to imagine what I have.
You're so emotional.
But wait!
Passionate threesome? And here I go... I just want gangbang.
I normally want gangbang, but I have to emulate what I was doing.
Now they gotta be
kissing. So now it's not even good enough. Now I have to look at the pictures of the both of them and the small little videos we made, and I have to go think about it and then masturbate. I can't look at porn right now because the sex I had was so good, probably the best sex I've ever had, that porn doesn't work anymore. So I came with an attitude, basically. You suck dick with an attitude. I came with an attitude. You were probably fine.
I watch a lot of porn for work, for research, like for a long time. So I don't really watch it in my personal life.
Really? Can you masturbate without it? You don't need it?
Yeah, I don't need it.
Oh, yeah, no, I need it. I can't masturbate at all without porn. But I'm visual. I don't think my imagination is there all the way.
What do you think about?
Everything, anything. I guess it's like, you know, I feel like all day long I'm looking at so much stuff for work that like at a certain point I get oversaturated and I just like, it's almost like it becomes work.
Yeah.
So it's like not sexy to me. But like I'll read erotica sometimes or like I don't
read it.
Reading
really gets me horny.
Yeah.
Me too.
I love, we have a whole section on our website. We have a whole bookshelf section.
Ooh,
actually
good.
With like all sorts of things, like all sorts of books around sex, health, consciousness, erotica. Yeah,
oh, I love it.
Big, big fan of erotica.
Well, speaking of that, we have another little game. It's called This or That. So
this is all for Liz.
Yeah, this is all for you. So vibrator or your hand?
I got to go with vibrator.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just because I love my Lilo. Oh. I'm a big Lilo fan.
You know
I
what?
They're so
You're
beautiful.
Rich?
They're so. I have the same.
This is expensive.
They are very expensive, but I've had 2 Lilos. Like, only 2 don't wear out over, like, the last, like...
Do you have a suction cup one?
The last 9 years. I get sent a ton of vibrators, and those are, like, my standbys.
It's always the chip companies that send us shit. Remember
I know,
one of
and I was telling them, I said, yeah. Oh, we ain't advertising.
But also, you know, you gotta be really careful. We have another thing on our site about sex toy safety, because a lot of the sex toy companies, they're using, like, toxic plastics on the vibrators,
shit.
And they don't clean...
Okay.
Yeah, right. No, you got to be really, really careful about what you put in your vagina.
Okay, so male-male-female threesome or female-female-male threesome?
You know, I'm really a big fan of homoerotic porn, actually.
Me too!
Well, I guess I'll leave the room because you guys are sisters now.
Yes!
I think
love
it's so
just
fucking
a whole
hot.
Bunch.
Like, if I'm going to watch porn, I probably, that's what it would
gay, me
toward.
Too. Just dicks galore.
I love a bisexual threesome, and that normally comes with
that
men.
That is sexy.
The 2 men. Oh, my God.
Bisexual male-male.
I love when it's like a 69 with a guy and a girl, right? And then the guy's fucking her, and then like the other one sucks his dick. Oh.
Yeah, I really like that too. Well, clearly, I think I've said that.
Take me over the edge.
Okay, so a little bit of BDSM. Blindfold or handcuffs?
I like... what do I have? a blindfold, like a little whip, of like a nice little suede whip.
Okay.
I've been tied up professionally too by one of my really close friends who's one of the best like mistresses of the ropes in the world. She has a salon in Paris.
Did it go like around your wrist?
It took hours. Yeah.
Wow.
Like a whole elaborate. Like,
it took hours to tie you.
Yeah, because like it's a whole thing.
She Where'd you wear it? Like how?
No, I mean we did. It was like in a hotel room. Yeah, and then she put me in. Like I wanted to. I really wanted to do it with her to see like what did I like, what do I don't like. Okay, so I don't like being hogtied. That wasn't
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I'm claustrophobic.
Like, yeah, I get really claustrophobic. But it was super interesting because she kept on saying to me, "Remember your breathing. Remember your yoga. Remember your meditation." The whole time, which I hadn't really connected.
That's how tense you were.
No, it's really important to like be in your body, like to really be in your body and get out of your head.
Yeah.
While you can't move, you're being confined. And she, you know, there's all the knots in the back. She's so I'm in this like sort of elaborate braided corset, essentially
of
ropes, and everything meets and the small of my back. And then it's like, you know, a long cord and she's holding it. And at the end of what was probably like 4 hours, she was like, I was like, okay, I need to get out of this now. And she was like, well, let me just do one thing with you. And you know that game when you're a kid, Trust.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
where you
fall backwards.
She was like, to fall forwards. So I fell forwards, but she's holding me. So I, you know, I'm suspended like just above the ground. And it was such a like.
Did that feel good?
I felt so safe. I felt, and she works a lot with women, especially who are dealing with like reclaiming their bodies or sexual assault.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know how sometimes you need to walk in someone else's shoes to understand? I really needed to do that to be like, oh, I totally get it. Of course, I feel so protected and safe and like in your
now
hands.
Now you're confined and you feel like.
Yeah, I feel like I felt trust.
Imagine if someone took hours on you and you're like, oh, I get it. Take it off. That's all
that
I can think.
Me.
And then, and then you have ghost ropes.
I definitely.
You feel like you have like ghost ropes.
You have the mark.
Yeah, but no. Also, you feel like you have it.
We have to do an episode on bondage. I got a guy
never
that I'm trying to get.
Thought about that.
We got to do. I never thought about that either.
Just you finally get it off after hours. You could still feel it. That's like when I wear a wig.
Oh, I was gonna say that's like how when like I get fucked real good and like my stomach, I still feel like the dick in my stomach.
You just feel the imprint,
bitch. That's how I was when on my lunch break, bitch.
That's how I love
sat
texting.
Sat down like, oh, I'm nasty. I was just thinking myself. Oh,
and then you went back to your spreadsheet. You went back to your Excel.
Oh, so miserable.
Spread those legs in that Excel.
Well, I'm really happy. So every episode we have this segment called Vanilla Shit, and bitch, this was a good one. I ain't even gonna hold you. I just read the title, bitch.
Which one was it?
So the title for this week's Vanilla Shit is Sex on First Date.
That's
is
right.
Important if you want a serious relationship.
I slept with my ex-husband on the first date.
All of my boyfriends,
my boyfriend,
yeah. We fucked on the first
I
night.
I love this.
My boyfriend,
this is
too.
A UK article.
Yes,
Mirror.
So it's from mirror.co.uk. IllicitEncounters.com, the UK's leading dating site for married people, has shared its staggering research into sex on first dates. If you want a serious relationship, sex on the first date is crucial, according to new research. More than a third of men found love after sleeping with their partner on the first date.
More than a third.
More than a third. And
is 50- that more than 75% accountant?
Wait, no. More than a third? No, one
a third,
third.
A
third
is
only 33%.
Oh, more than it.
See? You see what I'm talking about? Oh, shit. What's going on with this hole?
I thought it was like 3/4.
She's sexy and she can do your
you
taxes.
Know, 56% of women have had sex with their partner after the first date, the study highlights. It has led to a proper relationship for 36% of women and 34% of men. But women are slightly more wary than men of partners who want to jump into bed straight away. 1 in 6 women, you want to do that? No, I'm not going. That's 17%. Said they would think less of someone if they had sex on the first night compared to 11% of men, which is crazy because I think men definitely care more if you have sex with them on the first night. So these are for you guys wanting to know, more than 2,000 people were surveyed for this research.
So I was about to ask that. I was about to ask.
2,000 people.
I started reading. I don't want to read it. One of my old coworkers gave it to me, Farah. Why Men Love Bitches. And I was like, oh, this is such a cheesy book. But it has so many like old ideals in there that I found too game playing. There's a section on this book about making a man waiting is like going to grow his respect.
Like Steve Harvey.
Yeah, like growing that respect for you and like the timeline of it. And like when you say no for the first time, make sure it's when they really want it. And I was like, a part of me feels like this is really asinine because I don't know.
I think it's old fashioned. And also, don't you want to know what the sex is like?
Because
like,
if it's bad,
then like,
damn, you're a great person. And now
yeah,
I still
you're so nice. You're so nice.
This is why people fuck the pool boy, because they waited too long, but they already loved you. No, I can't be me.
Like, yeah, see, I think it's also important that that is for maybe women like us or a lot of our women listeners where sex is an important factor for them. I've met so many people, like, and I've even had friends where they don't understand how I can fuck so much or how casual sex happens with me or how I can have sex with someone that I'm not even emotionally tied to, like, stuff like that. But it's because I genuinely like sex. So I think for maybe those individuals where they can be with someone and have bad sex at the same time, maybe having sex on the first night doesn't matter to them as much as it would us who.
But you know what? I'm like very, I have a high sex drive, but I actually am super careful. Like I'm in a monogamous relationship. I was in a monogamous marriage and I'm like very careful about energy, right?
Mm.
Like if I make people take off their shoes before they come to my house, because not because of dirt, because of the energy that you're bringing in from from the street, right? So if I'm that crazy about shoes, like I'm gonna be even crazier about anything penetrating me.
So I take a few dates until I find that we're on the same synergy and we have that connection together. And if we don't, I don't think I know it the first date all the time. I can, but I'm not sure. And I think it's because I'm so, like, outgoing or, like, so extroverted that I could like anybody. That's why it takes me a few dates to see if we're really, really
good. But don't
you
usually, like, and I think we often ignore this, especially women, we have a gut intuition about things or people, right? Don't you immediately sort of feel something, if something's off?
Oh, yes.
Don't you feel it immediately
off,
in your gut?
Yes.
And, you know, we are taught to ignore that feeling. Like, we're, you know, we even like if they pull people who are serial rapists or serial killers, when people, you know, do the victim profiling, they always say, well, there was something in my head that told me it was weird, but I ignored it because I didn't want to be rude. Mm. I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to be impolite. But usually you kind of know instinctually things about people, like,
absolutely,
energetically. So I go by that. It's only been a couple times when I've done it the first date.
But he got big dick energy. I'm feeling it.
Then like, can match your BVE.
You know, well, I don't know if I want a big vagina.
Why don't you want big vagina energy?
TVE, tight vagina energy, bitch.
You want the TIV?
Tight. I can't have a tight vagina.
I mean, big vagina energy. I didn't necessarily think about size.
I'm just like,
oh, well, that too. I don't know. We going to coin that
shit. Do you remember
the
Sex and the City episode when she told the doctor, she's like, your penis is just too small. He's like, did you ever think your vagina was too big?
Yeah, no. I'm really big on energy. So it's weird, though, like, because I don't know, with dating, which I don't even know what dating is now, especially with doing either the profiles or I am revisiting a lot of past relationships and seeing if, because we're in different spaces now, if maybe the time is right for us to build moving forward. So, I mean, with me, and those are people, a lot of those people are people that I've slept with, like, on the first night. I know that my last boyfriend I slept with on the first night, and I was talking to his brother first, and it still worked out, so.
I feel like with past relationships, the only reason I can't jump back in them is because I sometimes harbor those same feelings. Like, maybe I'll get over that moment, but it's like, you still did that to me. Like, am I going to ever be able to get over it?
See, I'd be forgetting.
So I feel like new relationships, it's a clean slate. Like, I'm not the person where you have to earn my trust. I'm that person that you start here and then you can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And where some people, you need to build it up. Like, they don't trust you at all and it takes time.
That's me.
Okay, so I'm the opposite. So that's why if I've already lost it, it's like I'm fucked.
You're not getting it
right
back.
Yeah, it's hard.
They say that women take, like an oven, take a while to heat up, but once we're off, that shit is shut down.
I believe that shit.
And I guess it's just weird for me because with friendships, with sexual partners, with past relationships, like, I don't really end badly with many people. Like,
don't have to end bad.
But, I mean, we just lose us talking, or I have a lot going on, so now we stop talking, or maybe they get into something. Like, I don't know, I feel like we've just always pulled away because of what we both have going on in our lives, and then later we find ourselves in each other's DMs again.
I mean, in each other's DMs again. You have the eyes. This girl in our show, the last show we had, she was like, what do I do if I'm, like, I broke up with my boyfriend, I'm trying to bring all my old hoes back. Like, what do I do? Manny was like, just send the eyes.
Just
that's
send
it.
The
next
eyes
question. Like, I felt so bad. The girl's like,
it
okay.
It works.
It does, though.
I swear it works. They see them eyes. They know what's up.
I put up a new picture of my braids, and someone sent me the eyes, and I was like,
they look like mine from the DC show. That's cool. I feel like I inspired you.
They're box braids.
Well, I'm just saying. They're
not triangle braids. braids, relax. Well, then. Anyway, he literally sent me the eyes, this guy I used to fuck, and I wrote back in all caps, no. What's our kink of the week? So our kink of the week for you listeners that may have never listened, or Liz, if you're not sure what it is, our kink is this basically big word that we...
This one ain't even big, hole.
It's not?
No. I know how to say this one, but it's also because...
Oh, that's right.
This is only the first episode we're recording, so this is the problem. I mess up words all the time, but it's because I'm tired, and I use that. We record after I do a long day of work on spreadsheets and counting, and apparently dick sucking during my lunch break. So the kink of the week for this week is... Oh, this is so you. You would pick this.
Whatever.
It's hygrophilia. Do you want to guess what hygrophilia means? Because you smart.
Hygrophilia? Yeah. Well, immediately my mind goes to weed and hydroponics. So I don't know this
one. Okay, well, wrong. but this is also known as the liquid fetish. And no, guys, this is not where Weezy wants to be drowned.
I said one time that I thought it would be hot if a guy maybe put my face in water a little bit. And now this bitch tells the whole world,
she
even
be
on
drowned.
TV, that I want to be fucking drowned.
No. So this is actually funny because I want to know if you have any stories about this. But this fetish is, if you would rather avoid the wet spot on the bed, then this kink probably isn't for you. Mess fetishists enjoy the mess created by sexual fluids, both male and female fluid. They may use the fluids as lubes, to drink, to paint on their partner's bodies, or passing it back and forth orally, or snowballing. I guess another part of this would be like people who like to actually, after they have sex and the sheets are all wet, they like to lay on the moist or wet sheets.
I mean, knowing sometimes that it can't be avoided, right? Sometimes you're just like,
oh, then there's
you're
that spot.
In some bed sheet pulp.
I mean,
I have to write that down as the episode title.
Bed sheet
pulp.
Well, I know you like me and like liquid.
Oh, you know I'm like a bukkake whore. Not that I've done it. Oh, see, that sounded real kink shamey. I'm like, I didn't do it, but I'm like obsessed. I'm a fucking cum whore. I love that shit. Matter of fact, I'm gonna just tell you guys before, because I know we didn't do the threesome episode yet. So they were fucking missionary, right? And I was sitting on her face, and me and him were making out, and I fucking came, right? Because I'm like watching them. And I guess he came watching me. So right when he did, he like takes my hair and like made me get it. Dude, it was so fucking hot. It was like real. This is why I can't masturbate to any other porn now, but like my own thoughts. And I had to like get it. And like my mouth was, it was like dripping all over me. Bro, it was so fucking good. And her and I have been fucking for years, right? Him and I just started fucking like last 6 months. And I've been fucking her for so long, and I've never seen her with a guy. She's never seen me with a guy. And I'm like, oh, can I like pass it back and forth? This like too much, because we've never talked about it.
Wait, y'all did all of this without having? We talk all the time about having these conversations. Yep. About
her and I didn't
and
talk
what,
about.
Wait, one moment. We had an entire threesome episode, Weezy. I need you to practice what the fuck you preach.
Hold on,
because we talked about having these conversations and guidelines and boundaries getting into threesome.
This is what we talked about. I sent a long text. I was like, everybody put your thumbs up or thumbs down in the group chat. Blindfold, handcuffs, spanking, spitting, all kinds of shit like that. I said, spit or swallow. She was like, I don't like spitting it. I'll only swallow. I was like, okay. Like, she
this is all on text?
Yeah, like we're both group, like going back and forth.
You know, millennial shit.
And it was fun, actually. So we all live in different places. So like, you know, they would send their thumbs up and make a new suggestion. And like, I really enjoyed doing it. But
Android users, this is not possible for you.
With the thumbs up and no, that's right. So the only thing I guess I forgot to say is like cum swapping. It just didn't come to my mind.
No,
when it was in my mouth, it was kind of full. I was like, well, I dribble it, see what happens. And then they started talking to each other about how hot it was. I was like, okay, so I guess that window is gone. I'll just swallow it. But it was in my mouth for like a good 45 seconds. And I was just kind of sitting there like looking like a fish. But you know, whatever. I'll take it. So I only picked this liquid fetish because when I was watching Bukkake recently, I like loved looking it up. I found, like, the fake bukkake. Have you ever seen this?
Uh-uh.
It's so disgusting. It's, like, basically these huge tubes of, like, cum. And it, like, looks super fake. And it's just, like, white and gooey. It looks like slime from Nickelodeon, but white. And the girls are, like, their eyes are covered in it. And they're, like, rolling all over the ground. There's, like, tarp on the floor. And I was like, yo, like, this is just not fun.
How do you get there?
I don't want to tell you.
You don't want to see her search history.
But no. People in the comments, because every time I look at something weird, I'm like, I got to see what people think of this shit. And they're so fucking into it. They're like, fucking drown me and cum. And like that whole drown me and cum thing is how you get there.
Okay, I guess.
I mean, it's going to be a beauty product pretty soon. Yeah, 100%. There's already like beauty products that are like own blood. You know, they have
the vampire.
Rihanna has a lip gloss called Diamond Milk. It looks like cum.
Yeah,
sparkly cum.
I think
sparkly cum.
I think that's going to be the next big thing.
Yeah. Well, they do have placenta and hair products.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so semen's for facials for sure.
Uh huh.
But if I would do that, for a mask.
So you'll just like put semen on your face.
I mean, I've done it on my T zone.
It's very drying. It's very drying.
It like, you know, because my pores are huge right here. That's what the estheticians tell me. They're like, you have great skin, but God damn.
Put some semen on there.
I mean, they didn't say that, but I'm not paying $80 for that fucking tube.
Me neither.
Fuck it. I'd like to spend my money, if it's a lot of money, on vacations, food, and drugs. That's it. I'm not doing it with fucking beauty products.
No, I think you can make your own, too.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not with semen, unless that's what
maybe
you're into.
You look this shit
but
up
like some full-fat Greek yogurt and honey and a face mask.
Oh, yeah, that's like a real thing.
I keep that in my fridge
that
for like 10
thing.
Days. That's really, really good.
There's got to be a recipe for this shit.
A recipe for semen facial.
Preventing wrinkles, blah, 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 blah. The sperm makes skin glow. According to a new study that a man probably did, it's good for the skin. The proteins and nutrients present in sperm can make your face glow and loosen and lighten those nasty-looking scars.
See, that's why I had it on my neck, Ben. I was tightening up my neck.
Please tell us this story while I blow my nose.
No, I'm not going to sell.
No,
it's just a pearl necklace story. Mind you, it's with the same guy whose dick I sucked during lunch today.
It's still fucking gross.
It's not. So, anyways, basically, I fucked a guy really drunk and didn't realize where he came. And the next morning, I rushed out because I had to go have brunch. And my neck started itching. And apparently, he came on my face and my neck. And so, there was dried nut all on my neck. And it started flaking in my friend's car. And don't mind me. That just happened. And we're going to go ahead. And while Weezy goes and blows her nose. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go ahead and get into our horrible decision. Now, Weezy started this. What happened?
Oh, sorry.
Nope. We're going ahead and getting into our horrible decision, and I'm excited about this because, again, we have been getting asked these questions a whole lot. What do you want to go through and say what the horrible decision is? You kind of...
Yeah. So I wanted to make this about starting over and self-love. You know, you shared that you've been married before, and you've have so many accomplishments in life, and I feel like... Sometimes men or women or bad relationships can really fuck us up from our end goal and our purpose. So I wanted to dive into what your story is, you know, just briefly, but basically the healing process after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you walk us through yours?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I like to advise people to, I think that's helpful, is like, even, you know, sometimes like, yeah, our hearts are so fucking broken, right? And people are like, well, the best way to get over to someone is to get under someone. But sometimes actually you need to reclaim your sexuality and yourself. Like, so we're talking about energy, right?
Yes.
And like the energy that you take on. So if you're being penetrated, for example, like you're literally taking on someone else's energy, and that takes a while to clear from your system. So I think like going through periods of self-imposed celibacy can be really good. That can be a good thing. It's almost like a palate cleanser between courses of like a meal, right?
Yeah.
It's like kind of reclaiming your space. That doesn't mean that you can't masturbate or look at whatever you want to do. Just, it doesn't even mean that you can't fuck around with someone else. It's just maybe meaning like not being penetrated by them, you know, like keeping some space for yourself. I think for me, at least, I did go through.
I've been reading about that.
Yeah, I went through a period of that, you know, and I think we had Nina Hartley, who's a really famous adult star, on our podcast, and she even talks about that. Like someone who's for a living is having sex.
Oh, wow.
And she's pansexual. Yeah, I think that like that for me was a big thing, kind of felt so... I mean, I felt really heartbroken. It was not an easy decision.
I feel like when I've been heartbroken, I've literally felt it in my chest. Like, I've been fucking heartbroken. I can feel it. I'm walking around. It's heavy. And I have wanted to make myself feel better. The first thing I do is text an ex.
Of course you do, because you want that immediate gratification. See, you want to feel you're still desired, right? But, like, what are you desiring yourself?
And
like,
that's the hard thing.
You're looking for someone else's validation.
Which is
absolutely
crazy. And I'm the opposite.
It's the first thing I do with a breakup.
When my heart is like broken or I become really hurt by a guy, I hate all men. And so I find myself just oversaturating my schedule between work, between finding something to do, hanging around friends, hitting people up, like, let's do lunch, let's do dinner, let's grab drinks. And I'm just out with a lot of friends. But I actually feel like I hate men. I don't want to be hit on. I don't want to talk to men. I don't respond to, like, and I just kind of clock out from even interacting with men altogether.
You don't want to sit in that. Because I think most of us don't want to sit in the loneliness and the fear and the vulnerability and feeling abandoned, which is why we, like, turn to drugs, turn to food, turn to alcohol, turn to sex. All those things are great, but like doing all those things with intention, right? Not because we want to mask our loneliness. Like, it's okay to be lonely and feel shitty and feel fear and feel vulnerable and wake up in the middle of the night and be like, am I going to die alone? Those are human questions that every single person on the planet has.
Right.
You know, I feel like we all think we're alone in that, that like we're the only one that has those fears. No, we all have those fears. We just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's going to pass just like the clock turns around, you know, or a wave comes in and out. We're just like culturally so uncomfortable with that, that we like want to cover it up immediately.
Have you, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but a few months back, I'd say in January, everything was just going fine. I'd been making the most money I've ever made. Mandy and I are getting along. Everything is fine. And I was like, I feel nothing. And it was almost worse than feeling sad. Like, I had no emotion going on. Because sometimes when you're in those feelings, I think it feels good to feel them. I don't know if you felt that, like when you cried and it feels good to like let yourself go through that. And I've tried to make that my process, like when I'm feeling a lot of emotions, to actually sit and understand what I'm feeling instead of covering it up. Because what I've done in the past is text exes, go out and get fucked up, just go do something really random, go on vacation randomly with a friend, spend too much money. And it's like, then I have to sit in those feelings when I come home. So now I try to actually process them, write them down, talk about what I'm feeling, and it feels better to like go through that motion instead of covering it up. How long do you think for, let's say you were in a 13-year relationship, but let's say someone who is going through a heartbreak of someone they just met, let's say 6 months or a year.
They say it takes half the time that you've been together. I don't know. My friend Dita Von Teese, speaking of burlesque, she had gotten divorced like just 8 months before me.
Wasn't
actually
she married to the Manson guy?
Oh no, Manson, Marilyn Manson.
I'm thinking of Kat Von D.
Yeah, and she, I would like ask her all the time, like, okay, so what should be happening now? Because she was like was sort of at every phase of the healing, like just a little bit before me. I'm like, when is this to be over? And I kept on thinking, like, fuck, if I could invent a pill for heartbreak, like,
yeah.
But then the other thing
it's
is
the worst pain.
You think about all the great art, right? And music. Like, think about all the music we listen to. Like, so much of the best art and music is made from heartbreak. And it's not a lot of, I mean, it's hard to make great art when you're super happy, right? Because you're just like living your life.
Like, you know, Everything Is Love came out with Beyonce and Jay-Z, but it wasn't Lemonade.
Yeah, exactly.
God
exactly.
Damn. That video. Remember when she smashed the car? I was like, fuck him. I swear to God.
We all could empathize that. We all had been in that space.
Yeah.
Right? Like sometimes I think when people are super happy, you're like, I'm not fucking happy. Why are they
That's
happy?
That's why I love New York.
Because nobody's happy.
You can talk shit about people. I saw a couple making out on the subway. This is a long time ago, but I'll remember this moment. I was going to work and everybody's in a bad mood. And she's like, and me and this girl looked at each other like, what the fuck is their problem? Like, we were just trying to fucking get to work. And bitch, you're on this train with your fucking, you look like you. Shut up!
Yeah, that's New York. That's New York.
I know.
When I moved back to LA from New York, I remember like if someone would ask me a question, like a stranger, like, where'd you get your yogurt or something? I would like roll up my car window. I'm like, why are they being nice? Why are they talking to me?
It's so weird.
It's really weird.
Okay. Yeah. So we go through the healing process. Let's say that part is over. But what do you think is a good way to get back out there?
That's the question that we've been getting at a lot of our shows.
I don't
shows.
Even know how to answer it anymore.
Yeah. So they want to know, hey, I'm done dating, but I want to now get out and date, but I'm not looking to jump into anything else. What would be kind of your go-to or any type
even
of advice you would have?
Even if it's a process like things to start doing to get yourself out there. But like, let's just imagine someone that's been in a relationship and pretty much quarantined themselves to their boyfriend.
I think it's a really good idea in general to like get outside of your comfort zone with like your scene that you're in, right? Like, ooh. I think it's really good to like maybe go, I don't know, do something you would never go do before. Like take a class or like go, I don't know, like there's a million different, like, you live in a city like New York, there's a million different scenes that you're not part of, and you kind of get stuck in your world, and you think, oh, I just meet the same people, and everyone's right. the same, is the same type of person.
Yeah.
But, like, if you just force yourself to get outside of your comfort zone a little bit.
Basically, I should go to Brooklyn.
I was about to say, basically, I got to go to where white people go.
I was just going to say, all of our listeners would be like, so I have to listen to house music? Yes, you'll see me there. Actually, to be frank with you, when I first moved to New York, I was going out meatpacking, right? And I felt like I was meeting too many of the same guys. I was like, you know what? The time of the black club, I'm done. And that was literally what I had to do. And it wasn't like I was not going to black clubs on purpose. I was just so into that meatpacking, like, high life. Like, you know, your $20 martinis. I love that shit. It took me getting a little bit Lower East Side, a mixed dive bar kind of vibe, heading out to Brooklyn, doing different type of parties to be like, oh, like, I'm fine.
Right.
Now I'm making new friends. And then I could go back and be okay. But I was seeing the same people. When you see those same people, even the same women, it really was reminders of the person I was dating. And I hated that shit.
I also think you should ask random people to set you up. Like, people who are not necessarily your immediate best friend, but, like, I don't know, like, could be a coworker.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
No, but you never know. And at least it might not be that person.
A good point.
It could be, like, a friend of that person, or, like, they could take you to a party. Like, one person's trash is another person's treasure, right?
That's a whole
that is.
Party
I didn't
that
even
too.
Think about that.
I mean, we're so used to not being set up because this is not our.
I got so many niggas already. It's like, more. Like,
I but you fuck the ones you had.
I do. I know. Like, so that's another thing with me. Like, I don't know if it's, I don't call it fear. And a few people have written, like, that they also revisit the past with people. But the time it takes to get to know someone and allowing new energy feels like way more work than me just going back to someone who I'm familiar with.
But you're talking kind of like about that. For sex, right?
No, both. Like,
or
I mean,
for
like,
relationships.
Like, niggas is free agents and retired now. They're not playing and traveling the
Maybe
world
loves
anymore.
The basketball players.
I like athletes. Okay. Well, the one I'm talking to was former football. Thank you. But, like, so they're also in a different space in their life. Also, back when I was dealing with these guys, I was either living in Atlanta or Miami. I was a bartender. I was on the fast life. So, like, I was viewed differently to them than where I am now. Like, I have my shit together. I still don't have kids. I'm, like, more...
Do you want to have kids?
No. So that's also at a space where I'm able to revisit.
Really? I feel like you've said
I've
maybe...
I've never said I want
to
get
my
entire life.
You know what? She
yeah.
did.
A lot
I'm
of
sorry.
Clarity.
I'm wrong. You've used the word family. You never use the word kids, you're
bitch,
right.
Bitch, and I'm talking about a dog or a finger monkey, bitch. I've been looking up finger monkeys. Them shit's expensive.
Finger monkey?
I want a little finger monkey. Like, I follow these finger monkeys on Instagram called Diddy and Kong. They are so cute.
What's
and
a finger monkey?
I'm going to show you. They're real cute.
So that's what you want? Not a
kid. And like a dog.
But...
Like a dog. I really do want, like...
Oh, we're looking this up for us. Thank you. Here we go. We're good.
Look up real Diddy Kong. Look, they got a million followers.
Oh wow,
that is pretty. That is very cute, actually.
So I want a finger monkey, and these are like the little bigger monkeys.
Where do you keep them during the day? Oh god, those
nails look like they might scratch though.
Man, I'm gonna get a pedicure. But no, like, in my mind, I'm not gonna lie. So with talking to a lot of these men, they do have children already. And a lot of them, because, bitch, they got multiple, a lot of them done cut their dicks now. Like, they're snipped.
Yeah.
They've so, cut their dicks.
No, you know what I mean.
They got like, a vasectomy.
They neutered.
Yeah.
You know the word?
Vasectomy.
There you go.
Come on, you didn't know vasectomy?
What? I said they neutered, bitch. So, like, now they can't have, like, babies. And so now it is to where, like, I think even for a lot of them, because of where they are with money-wise, power-wise, like, it's a genuine thing. Like, I ain't trying to have no baby, like, just to keep you. Like, it's a genuine connection. They're in different spaces in their life. So I believe in timing. And I think, I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I guess while we're talking about time that it takes to heal, I believe in timing of meeting people. I believe in...
Definitely.
I believe in meeting people, and sometimes it's just the wrong time.
Yeah.
It may work. Damn, I wish I met you at a later time in life or sooner in life before, you know, things happened. So to me, in a space where I genuinely feel like I'm in a new bubble, I'm in a new career, we have this podcast where it's taken off and I'm traveling and I'm in this creative space, I genuinely feel like I'm in a new space that I can provide provide something different in a relationship that I couldn't.
But that also, you being in a new space and you doing what you want to do and investing your energy fully into it is what brings people into your orbit. I truly believe. Sometimes when you're really trying hard to look for it, it's not going to come. But the second that you're like busy and focused on whatever it is that you're doing, all of a sudden it's like the universe is just sending you, you people right
and left.
It's
funny you mentioned that. Like, so probably for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been talking about wanting to have a boyfriend and a girlfriend or be in a throuple or whatever. And never thought that the two people I would be sleeping with would be it. And, like, when I tell you it was so intense at one point, like, I almost woke up and started crying. Of course, I'm emotional, but I was like, damn, I didn't think I would feel like this. I thought we were just going to have sex and eat. Like, I thought this was going to be it. I didn't think we'd be holding hands and touching each other's faces and planning the next vacation while we're still sitting together, you know? And it was, like, really, really intense. And my mom was like, you manifested this for so long.
Right.
You've been looking at these two people, like, maybe you and him weren't like that. Maybe you and her weren't like that. But, like, together, now you can become something because it's just been waiting for you there. She was like, you probably weren't trying to have it like you were the last few years. Anytime I would fuck a girl, I'd be like, you should meet this guy. We should be a thing. Happen like that.
It was.
So that's interesting that you said it. You can really actually bring it into your orbit because I kind of feel like I did. I really am like super nervous because it felt so great. And I'm just like, shit, it's the letdown of two people, not just one now if it doesn't work.
Yeah, but don't future fuck yourself.
Say that shit with the future fuck.
So, like, if we're talking about being in the moment and being present, most of us are constantly future fucking ourselves. Like, we're going into like what could happen, what will happen, like what might happen. And we're like, you know, the more that you put your mindset there, you bring it in. Instead of being like right here, right now, you're future fucking yourself.
But it's also something to where, and I think a lot of us do that with dating or meeting someone. We have this vision of what we want this person to do, how we want them to act, how we want them to answer our text messages, how we want to wake up in the morning to them, what we hope our conversations to be, to where we set ourselves up to these expectations. And as soon as that person doesn't live up to the expectations, now we're disappointed. And once you're disappointed, then you're like, okay, well then he's not it. Let me move on to the next.
Yeah, but we are expecting someone else to give us every single thing. It's just not like, okay, we're never going to get every single thing from one person. That's just not possible. Do you think you can give that?
I totally agree.
You can't. Yeah. You can't be someone's like lover, partner, best friend. You got to find those things in other people. You got to find it in yourself so that really like the person that you're having that intimate romantic relationship with, that's like, you know, you accept them for what it is.
Let me ask you, you said you're monogamous.
Damn, you was in my mind for those. That was my next question.
We always say, we use that as a reason.
Oh my God, that was my next question.
I really appreciate
it. I'm monogamous right now. Yeah.
But
that doesn't mean like maybe
break
in the
down
future,
the question, but we got a whole question. She read my mind.
Wait, now I don't know the question.
Well, the question is.
So we use this as a, like exactly what you say, compartmentalizing relationships and people and friends, right? I need a friend I want to go out with for this and that. You're saying that and able to understand that concept, but you're still monogamous. So how do you do it then?
Because I don't necessarily expect my like partner who I'm sleeping with to give me everything, right? Like I'm a creative person. And I think you like, if you're doing anything creative, there's going to be some vibes or energy with people you're creating with. I flirt with everybody under the sun. I mean, like I have a company that's called The Sex Ed. I'm talking about sex with other people all day long. I'm flirting with you guys over here. Right. Like, I don't know. I get energy from a lot of people. So when I'm with him, like, you know, also it's constantly evolving, you know, it's not like perfect. We have our shit and we talk about it and we're both trying to evolve into like what we want this relationship to be and the certain limited expectations that each of us have and can give. Like, I mean, nobody's perfect.
So you don't have to, you're saying you don't, you're into creative shit, but you don't need that from him.
I do. I mean, I get a lot of stuff from him, but I also don't expect that like he's going to give me satisfy every single one of my needs.
I like that a lot because I think sometimes the pressure of making sure you're this perfect partner when really you don't have to do it all. Like, just because you're fucking me doesn't mean you still can't have someone else in your life for
Or, for example, like, he's like super alpha, and he's not, like, I've always dated artists before who are like, I love it, you know, really flowery, passionate, with the words and stuff. And he's like, he's really solid, he's really there, but he's not going to do that because that's just not who he is. And like, I, you know, it, like, sometimes it drives me crazy, but then I'm like, all right, I'm not going to get that from him, but I can count on him. You know, I can count on him, where I've had like a million guys like write me fucking love letters and like send flowers all the time. And like, but they're not really necessarily like the solid guys.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
I like that.
Yeah.
Being there from someone is a lot of fucking work.
Yeah. Yeah. You just have to like realize where people are coming from too, and how they were brought up and conditioned, and what kind of love relationship they've had, like with their parents, for example, like has a lot to do with the way we relate to each other in relationships. Because it's basically like we're constantly trying to recreate the relationship with the parent we had the most difficulty with as a child.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Unconsciously.
Ooh, read us like a book, Liz.
Unconsciously, that's who we pick.
Really?
Yeah, in order to like recreate and heal those primal relationships.
Like, I feel like that's why I like tall, like I like tall, light-skinned guys. I like everything opposite from my dad.
Is that who you had like the most difficult relationship with?
Actually, it was both of them hoes. Me and my mom are friends now. But growing up, me and my mom butted heads a lot. But as I got older, I see it's because we were a lot alike.
But there's something to be said. What you look for in men, and how she was saying, like, you pick someone like them. Mandy's always saying she likes affluent men because her dad wasn't as helpful when she was a kid. So that is kind of making sure that you're trying to fix what was broken.
Yeah, you're trying
there.
To fix your childhood, basically.
But I guess that makes sense.
I hear it.
Well,
I want to get into orgasm breathing.
Oh,
before
orgasm
we stop.
Breathing.
Yeah,
okay,
you want him to get a clip of us.
Well, with the orgasm.
I'll do it. You'll do it?
Okay, so with the orgasm breathing, I want to do that. And then I do want to gauge some of your knowledge a little bit.
Yeah.
For our home mail section. This
your
week.
Home mail section.
Do you want to do orgasm breathing first?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do orgasm breathing.
Okay, so what is. Wait. Dude,
you gotta be in the shot.
I'm like so fucked up from this cold right now, bro. It's just all the traveling. I need to get myself together. Okay.
I got some airborne.
What the fuck is orgasm breathing? Yeah.
So orgasm breathing is a technique where you can bring yourself to orgasm hands-free, just with breathing and using your pelvic floor muscles.
Don't believe you, but I've heard it.
Yeah, everyone can do it, no matter what kind of genitals you have.
Okay, I'm ready.
You can do it. So, like, you know what your pelvic floor muscles are, right?
Yeah, I've done pelvic floor therapy before.
Okay, so, like, well, for listeners who aren't familiar with it, right, it's the muscles that you contract when you're trying to stop your flow of pee. Mm. So if you got a penis, contract that muscle. If you got a vagina,
it's when your dick jumps. Now, is that different
from
the
Kegel? Muscle. Yeah, it's basically the same thing.
Okay,
right. So they're your PC muscles. So the breath is two parts, right? So we know what that squeezing that muscle's like, right? So and then the breath is, imagine you're sucking in through a straw. So your lips are like. So at the bottom of that breath, imagine it traveling up from the base of your genitals. No, it's going to be long. So as soon as I start sucking the breath, I'm going to squeeze and I'm going to stay squeezed and I'm going to go. And I'm still squeezing this whole time and I'm slowly.
Shit. I let too much out.
And your vagina.
I'm still squeezing.
Your Kegels are squeezing.
I'm still squeezing this whole time. And then at the bottom of my breath, I release the Kegel. So does that make sense?
Oops.
Does that make sense? You're like, you're squeezing your muscles from the bottom of the breath up, holding the squeeze, then slowly.
So squeezing the muscle, by the way, for those listeners who have never really worked their Kegel muscles before, I was saying Kegel shit.
Whatever, Kegel.
So it feels like if you try to stop that pee, like hold it, you could do it right now. I'm doing mine right now.
Me
just
too.
Feeling like holding
it. I like
pee.
To do it at like. Like if you're waiting a lot. If you're like, but by the way,
I don't
it's
know
really.
If you laughed because you guys locked eyes. Right?
We're both squeezing.
I'm like, wait, are you squeezing your vagina
like, listen,
right
if
now?
If you don't want to have a loose bladder when you're older, by the way, this is very important if you're talking about a tight vagina, which is a myth, by the way.
I know.
Like, and we
I
don't
know.
Want to perpetuate. But if you do want to have control over your bladder when you're older, it's super important to practice your Kegels. And it's also really helpful for multiple orgasms.
What about the balls? Like the. You can put in your vagina, like would
the
you,
the.
I
the,
swear
the
to God, Mandy, I didn't know what you were asking. I was like, please, God, don't let her think you have a fucking urethra in your balls.
No,
Benoit. Yeah, people like Benoit. The woman who, Bettany Vernon is her name, who I did bondage with, she does beautiful Benoit balls. Also, some people like, you know, I mean, I think like the whole yoni egg thing.
So
is
how
like,
do they help your pussy then?
Well, yeah. It gives you, it's also like, it's the same thing. It's muscle control.
Muscle control.
Which you can do like, you know, like I'm doing right now. So just having awareness of your
Thailand
muscles.
Know how to do it. So in Thailand,
oh yeah, they shoot
we went to
out.
We went
You've
to
been,
like
right?
a you went,
I've never been
so
to
there's
Thailand.
A pussy show and I went in there before and the very first trick that was going on was this girl asked the guy at the bar what his name was and she took a marker, put it in her pussy, and literally wrote his name on a sheet of paper with the marker in her pussy.
I've seen that
because
in
she had good muscle control.
You know,
you haven't seen that like Kim and Mommy who can like lift weights with her. She can like lift a surfboard with her vagina.
That's crazy.
But why are they older? You think?
Why are they older?
Girl, the same way. Why sex gets better when you get older? Because you start to know your body.
It's true.
You
know your body. You know your body, and you don't feel like you give yourself permission.
Although I will say, when I worked in Miami, Uncle Luke would have hoes up there putting Corona bottles in they pussy, girl.
I remember those videos.
It was so lit. It
Do you
was
know who
fun.
Uncle Luke is?
Like from True Love Crew?
Get yes. Me, get me, get,
I know
get,
like every single word to every song.
Do you?
On, oh my God. Oh, my mother God. Threw the cassette tape out of the window of the car.
God damn it, Liz. This is who we are.
There's only one place where you can go where the price is right.
Big booty hoes. You know what I mean? Big booty hoes. So because you are, I would like to say, a sexpert, and you have the sex ed show and the sex ed domain because you was on it. I want to get into our home mail session before we get out of here. And the question from this is, am I still a virgin? Hi, ladies. First of all, I'm a big fan and love listening to your podcast. So I am or was a 29-year-old virgin. Until recently, I got into a relationship and things just kind of happened. And next thing you know, we are having sex. Or so I thought. I have never had sex, so I am not sure. However, it felt painful when he first went inside. Ugh. But after, I did not feel much pain and honestly was expecting to feel my hymen break and was next expecting to see blood. None of that happened. To make things worse, he asked me if I was really a virgin, which hurt my feelings. Now, I am not experienced, but it's not rocket science to know if a dude has a big or small dick, which he is on the smaller side. Is it possible that he is too short to reach my hymen? Since then, we have tried 5 more times. The same thing happened. Hurt upon entering and felt nothing after that. I don't even feel like I have had sex. How do I bring this up? Is this normal? Please help.
First of all, it's totally normal. It's okay. Totally normal. And like this whole idea of virginity really bothers me too, because what is virginity? And like, does virginity mean you have to have sex between a penis and a vagina to
totally
be a virgin?
The hymen can break while riding a bike. Mm-hmm. They say a lot of people over 20, I think I was reading this somewhere, I don't know if it's 20 years old or a different age, but have already lost it somewhere or another around the way. So like, even if they haven't had sex yet, you may not have that big old break.
Right, and also hand. Like, just the idea that like, well, what about if you have anal sex or if you have oral sex or fingering, like all of those things, like,
In middle school, like, the hoes of middle school would go around and say they still haven't had sex, but they had anal and they just blew everyone off, like they just sucked their dick, and so they
yeah,
still
if you're
were
fucking
virgins.
In the ass, that's. You broke it.
But a lot of people who are like 13, 14 year olds now are like having anal sex instead of anything
vaginal
else
sex,
because
yeah.
they feel like it's preserving their virginity.
That's so crazy.
I feel like I started to say that as I got older. Like, I'm going to save my ass for my husband. It was really just my excuse to not fuck in the ass.
Oh.
But.
Well, I don't think I have anything left to save for my husband. So I hope my husband isn't worried about that.
My feet haven't been fucked.
Oh, I haven't gagged anyone with my foot, but I do have a proposition for that. So unless he comes with a ring, my husband may not be able to do that either. What is left? Like an ear fuck? Like my nigga, he gonna have to
an
be in like
fuck?
Some knees or something.
You
like,
could you do,
you could
do,
you
could
do behind
fuck.
The knees.
Yeah,
yeah,
you can fuck knees.
Armpit.
Oh my God. My armpit hasn't been fucked.
Vogzilla likes that.
Boom.
The guy we interviewed, he was like, yeah. And every time I post a picture like this on my bed, he always be like, yo, they looking good.
Well, okay, so I like that. Do you have any advice for
Is she
for
still
her?
A virgin? I mean, listen, I don't know what happened to your hymen or where it is, but like, you definitely had sex if it went in there. Sure, he might not be big enough for you, but absolutely not. You're not still a virgin. Just because,
yeah, no. Just because.
Listen, did it go in? If it did, no. I think the whole blood seeing thing is kind of stupid, and I'm sorry that you know.
See, this is how unsure I was about this.
You were
shit.
Waiting for this big reveal.
I thought the dick just pushed my period on because I definitely bled like right after.
Me too.
I did too.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
I had sex at 15.
Yeah, I was,
and it went right.
So
in.
Having it at 29, yeah. So it's very possible that, girl, maybe you did a split, you know, to kept.
But you
so
know what? That's like that. When I do talks, and people ask questions in the audience. The number one thing that people approach me privately about are virgins in their 20s, because I think also culturally we shame people for not having sex, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like where does this come from? Where is this law that you have
that
to
listen,
like?
Liz?
And great for you. Whatever you want, however you want to consider your sexuality or yourself is all okay. As long as you're not hurting yourself or someone else, it's all okay.
Or animals.
Or animals. Or dead people.
Or kids. Children.
Well, yeah. Now we're going to talk.
Consensual. No, yeah.
I do want to let's do 2 more minutes, but I just really want to know. We have this question a lot. A girl came up to us at our Houston show and asked me about her virginity and how do I get out there? I want to lose my virginity. I'm over 25.
Oof.
What kind of advice would you have for them?
Well, first of all, I'd be like, why do you want to lose it? Because you want to lose it or because you think you should lose it? Because everyone says you're supposed to lose it.
Right.
And like, really think about that because it's such a personal choice. Like, you want to make sure you're doing things because you want to do that.
Which is what we preach on this show. So like, I feel like as kind of sex liberators and how we talk about women really even having sex because you want to have an orgasm or you want to enjoy it and not to have sex because a man just wants to have sex with you, I feel like the virgins that listen to this show should definitely take that bit of advice and really hone in on why do you want to lose your virginity and don't just go out there looking for a nigga to lose your virginity for.
But also,
I'm so
like,
mad that guy
when
didn't
I've gone,
hair back then.
Yeah,
I,
when
I
had like celibate periods, I had so many friends just be like, you should just be having sex and you're gonna get cobwebs down there, and like, no, people really didn't understand.
Oh wow.
You know, and I'm like,
purpose,
I'm fucking liberated,
right?
You know, like, I've got my little sex toy drawer.
How long did you go?
I've done it in different times of different breakups for different periods, and I've known other people have done it. I'm like, why are you trying to shame me? Why are you trying to shame me? Like, just the same problem as slut shaming
it
is virgin shaming. So we should just like stop with this.
Let me do
and
what
just
I want
let
with my
people
pussy,
do what the fuck they want to do
right.
with their bodies.
I like that. So before we get out of here, let our listeners know what you have coming up, where they can find you, and all of your social media handles and all that cool stuff.
All right. Well, we have a new season of the Sex Ed podcast, which I host, coming out next week, I guess, like the day or two after this episode
check
airs.
It out on Wednesday, guys.
You can, wherever you stream podcasts, we're The Sex Ed. On Instagram, we're The Sex Ed. Our website is thesexed.com. And my personal Instagram is GoldilocksG.
Boom.
Yeah.
Look for the blue
now,
check.
What's that episode that I love? That, like, I think that's such a good place to start. What was that episode?
It was a Lou Padgett episode.
Lou Padgett.
Yeah, Lou Padgett has really good tips for cunnilingus and fellatio.
I know.
And I think so that will work for literally all of our listeners. So
for the men
listeners, for the women listeners.
No matter what,
as
how
a
you identify.
Person, I was like, okay. This is good.
No, well, thank you so much
for coming on.
I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. As you guys know, because of you guys, we are able to go on tour. We have LA
woo.
This weekend. And bitch, I ain't gonna lie, I'm finna get hot as fuck out there. I'm all in lining up the dick and shit. But
I'm not getting high. I'm scared.
Oh, I'm finna get high.
I'm terrified.
But I'm probably gonna only get high like Wednesday night, and then I'm gonna stop by Friday because I can't be high on the weekend. But
so
I'm excited.
We're staying at the Beverly, and let me just tell you, the first time
I'm not. I'm sorry. She wants to fuck fans. I'm not just putting what hotel I'm staying at.
It's super bougie. Nobody could get in, right? They block it out and shit. So wait, because I'm staying there last time, I'm like, oh, this is like really nice. And it was Grammy weekend, so they did that big ass party there and shit. Fucking Oprah, everybody, right? So I'm like wanting to smoke weed, but I don't want to be like tacky. So I go
outside. It's LA.
Right.
You can,
all of these
tacky
guys in like suits are fucking smoking weed and shit. And I'm like, here I am. Thought I was being ghetto with shit. And I'm like, okay.
So just so y'all know,
they had a joint.
We got like less than 10 tickets left for our second show. I do want to shout out to everyone coming on May 12th on Mother's Day. But we got, you know, star-studded event motherfucking planned out for y'all in motherfucking LA. So see you guys at the Hollywood Improv. And then sorry for you guys in Toronto. Toronto is sold the fuck out, bitch. So that'll be lit. We'll be there May 18th, and that will wrap up our tour. Also, once again, we want to shout out all of our patrons. Because of you guys, this tour is possible. So if you guys have not yet become a patron, for $5 a month, you get 3 bonus episodes. And at the top tier of $15 a month, you guys will get merch after 4 months. We've been sending those out, and I think we're actually going to start on working on, what, socks and mugs and a whole bunch of little extra other things for
right
our
now
top tier patrons.
T-shirts and sweatshirts, yeah.
So if you guys haven't yet, check that out. Because we are 18 plus on Patreon, you can find us at www.patreon.com/horribledecisions. You guys know how to spell it. Again, we want to shout out to Adam and Eve, who is our sponsor for this week's episode. And as always, we're going to leave you with a 5-minute clip of one of our bonus episodes. If you'd like it, check it out, become a patron, support the show. And once again, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye. Oh, so y'all all like elders.
So when'd you pop your cherry?
Wheezy. Wow. Cause you know from the South, I'm like, a gentleman never tells. I may or may not have been like 19.
Wow.
Yeah, I was you know, at one point.
You held out longer than us.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could tell y'all fast.
Don't do that.
Oh, bitch. Out of love. Praise him.
Don't do that.
He said, I can tell y'all fast.
Let me tell you, because at one point in high school, me and my 2 female best friends, Selma and Janae, we had a celebratory pact. So we were like, we're not going to have sex till we're 18.
Oh.
And
that
you know, we're
so
going to.
That is so honorable.
It is.
We're going to, like, you know, stick to it. And I had a very close sexual encounter of the female kind once.
Ooh,
and
I was just that's like, one of my icebreaker questions for you.
Well, I'm about to answer it. And I got there and looked down at it. And it was like, there's a pact that I made. I can't believe I'm saying this. I was like, there's a pact that I made. So I can't do this.
Wait.
But I would love to be your friend. Call me.
Did she know you were gay?
No, of course not. I was real like hetero in high school.
So what'd she look like? Was it a white
She
pussy?
Was actually, no. Why she gotta be white?
I don't know.
Do I look like a white girl?
You look like that type of black guy.
Oh my God.
You know, like the black guys got.
Man.
See, and that's why you got.
Or E other.
That's why you got that look.
No. She was a complete ebony goddess princess. She was a little bit darker than you. Like I was about to say like an
NC-47. She had to be a lot of it because Wheezy white.
First of all, Mandy,
I'm just saying.
I'm literally
y'all the same complexion. Okay, she golden and you pink.
Oh,
like,
she
for real, for real.
Mandy, no, she
that vibe. You talk about an ebony goddess princess and then say a little bit lighter than Wheezy.
I just want to say,
I thought I said darker than Wheezy.
Ma'am,
I'm sorry.
Is black and Middle Eastern. Mandy,
that's
what about
fine.
Yourself?
That's fine.
That ain't white.
You sound good, bitch. Sound good. Just because you sent your goddamn DNA and you probably got somebody else's
You
shit.
Did the 21 of me?
I couldn't believe that. I didn't have that much European in me.
I can't do the 21 of me.
I don't believe it.
Like, the government is already following me enough.
No, they just tell you. It's lies, bro. They just tell you what they want. People lie. So everything.
How am
I supposed to know I'm black?
People lie?
Yes, they lie.
Yo, imagine if you thought your daddy was something. And you like, I don't see any bit of.
Well, you know, I'm part Chinese. So,
bitch, you couldn't wait to say that.
I am part Chinese. That's
I
why
I
love stir fried rice.
People with cheeky
rice.
Eyes say that
no,
shit.
No, I mean my eyes are a little shallow
I'm
smooth.
I'm Malaysian.
Shallow smooth.
However, I really am. My grandfather actually was from Canton, China.